It's dangerous to be a boy. That's the stark conclusion our next guest has come to after studying boyhood today for his new book, How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Raise Good Men. Michael Reichert says boys smoke more, fight more, and are more likely to die young than girls. And this violence springs from the destructive messages they are sent about what it means to, quote, be a man. When I spoke with him more about this recently, he pointed out one study that really struck him. It showed 30% of college-age men today said they would force a woman to have sex with them if they weren't afraid of getting caught.
You know, apart from just the criminal and immoral aspects of that, I was really concerned by what it reflects about what those young men understand about intimacy and negotiating closeness. So I think that what we know is that losses and casualties are an inconvenient truth about boyhood. This is not new. We have normalized these kinds of losses and casualties, never really acknowledging them. And if we do, if it somehow comes to our attention, you know, we have this pat rationalization. Boys will be boys, or that's just the nature of those feral creatures, you know, those hormone-addled adolescent brains.
One of the things that really stood out to me in reading about this is that it also seems to start at a really young age. Like, you're citing research about preschoolers.
Yeah, one of those studies was conducted by a woman at Stanford University, and she embedded with 4-year-old boys and studied them for 2 years, came to their school, talked with them, observed them, talked to their teachers, talked to their parents. And what she found was that over the course of the 2 years, they absorbed the norms for masculinity and they leaned into them. They began to adopt that code, and it changed them in rather dramatic ways. What she said was that they overcompromised with masculine norms at the expense of being themselves, having an emotional voice, being real, being direct. They went behind the mask is another way of saying that. At age 4, you know, I have a 2.5-year-old grandson, and I notice him already picking up cues about the degree to which, he should be scared or should become upset or should let other people know. I can see him already trying to be stoic.
So I want to also talk about the effect that this has on the boys themselves. So if this starts at such a young age, like, and it has to do with violence and it has to do with, you know, restricting emotions, like, how do boys react when they can't take it, when they need comfort?
Well, you know, it's what we know about brain development in childhood is that experience is biology. We grow, our brains are plastic. They grow in the directions that fit with our experience. So if we're telling boys to hold things inside, to act certain ways and not act other ways, we're going to find that they become that masked male. They lose certain skills. They don't develop other skills. They overdevelop certain other behaviors. You know, I think for a long, long time, we've believed when it comes to boys and men that biology is destiny. You know, we don't dare think that or say that anymore about women and girls. We used to for generations, but we understand now that since Title IX, particularly, for example, in the area of athletics, girls have demonstrated, you know, that their bodies are just as capable of amazing athletic feats. Opportunity and experience changes what's possible.
So you're saying this is not innate?
I'm saying it's not innate. It's not biologically warm. You know, we're not determined by our biology. Lots of folks still believe, for example, that boys are just naturally aggressive and even violent, or naturally competitive, or naturally non-relational, or emotionally illiterate. And that's just not my experience, and it's actually not the brain science.
Okay, so then the question is, how do we change this, right? Like, you wrote this from, you know, a parent's perspective also, but, like, is there any way to do this differently if this is sort of the way that society is shaping them?
Yeah. So really the point of my book is to make a plea that those of us who are in charge of boyhood, and that's not boys themselves, that's the adults who are managing the schools, the athletic programs, the families, that we simply do boyhood differently. We provide different experiences for boys so that they can really retain their human capacities. What we know about human brains, for example, is that we are wired to connect. We need to provide opportunities for boys to be held, to be known, to be loved, to get to talk about what they're thinking and feeling. We need to create conditions that make that possible. I lead a high school emotional literacy program for 11th and 12th grade boys. And, you know, we simply create an opportunity for those guys in that room, and there are usually typically about 50 of them that come over their lunchtime. What we do is we address particular topics that are important to them, like relationships with their parents and relationships with girls, sex, pornography. And we simply invite them to talk to each other about what those topics actually feel like to them. And what happens in that room is a wonderful validation of how capable boys actually are, provided a real opportunity, how capable they are of expressing themselves fully emotionally.
So you're saying this is not something that parents alone can do, but what is the role of the parents in this, and in particular, the role of the father? Is that more important?
What I believe, what I've seen happen in my own research and what I see in my clinical work, is that what enables a boy to resist conforming is someone, an ally, a relational anchor who knows and loves him. I think that's a parent's primary job when it comes to raising a boy, is to be that relational anchor for their son. And so how you do that? Listening, special time, and a process for setting limits for discipline that really depends more on listening than on authority.
So as a parent yourself, and I'm a parent as well of a boy, I mean, this is kind of scary, right? This looks dire, especially in terms of when you look at the consequences that this can have for a boy later in life. Do you see this being reversible on any kind of large scale?
I do. I see it changing now, Lauren. It's really, that's the good news. I don't think there's ever been a better time in history to be raising a son. I actually think that we're on the cusp of actually being able to consider who boys really are, you know, to see them behind the mask, to see that beating heart, and to hear that emotional voice. I actually think we're in a position that we've never been before. And I give the women's movement a lot of credit for that. I think the women's movement has changed everything in the gender landscape. And what it's allowed us to do is to kind of consider, you know, what about the boys?
All right, that's Michael Reichert, the author of the new book, How to Raise a Boy, The Power of Connection to Raise Good Men. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Lauren, really nice speaking with you, and nice being with your listeners.